It is my privilege to welcome you to another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wentley Phipps. My name is Adrian Wesley Jr. I'm your host for the program, and today Pastor Phipps will be preaching a message entitled A Dedication of the Elders. This is going to be a message that we will present in two parts. So we will hear part one of A Dedication of the Elders today, program number 155 in our series. The message will begin right after we hear special music. So please sit back, relax, and stay tuned as we present to you another edition of The More Abundant Life.
Forever yours. Praise God. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. That's just before 2 Peter. See, folks searching for it, didn't they? And I want to read from the New International Version. The Word of God says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Amen. Of all the guardians of the Roman Empire, none were more hated by the Jews than the publicans. You see, to the Jew, a publican was lower than the lowest, because he was one who had sold out his people by placing self-interest above his fellow citizens. The Jew saw the publican as a corrupt man, one who skimmed money from the top of the Roman taxes and paid himself out of that money. In modern times, a publican would be called a customs officer. Nobody likes to deal with customs. One day, while sitting at his toll booth, taking taxes and tariffs, one the Bible identifies as Matthew lifted his head from counting his coins, and he saw coming towards him the face of one who had the stride of an emperor. Try as he might, he couldn't take his eyes off of this regal stranger. And as he drew closer, Jesus paused, bent over the money table, and said to Matthew, "It's time to follow me." Matthew stood up, he left all his belongings, and he looked into the face of Jesus, and someone said, "The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." I remember the night the Lord called me. I was counting up the profit of my empty dreams. He bent over my table. It was empty. And I shall never forget the night I heard Jesus whisper to me, "It's time to follow me." To others, I was a nobody with a ticket to nowhere, but not to Jesus. Jesus knew that Matthew's heart was hungry for the truth, and the other disciples were concerned about the judgment of Jesus choosing someone like Matthew. They said to him, "Lord, how can you make a thief of a disciple?" He does it every day. Amen. "How can you take a snake, a scoundrel, one who robs his people to gain influence with Rome? How can you take one who rats on others and make him one of your choice disciples?" Well, I want you to know that as soon as Christ made Matthew a disciple, Matthew hit the ground running for Jesus. First thing he did was he called together all his publican friends, threw a big dinner. And just as expected, the Pharisees began to say to his disciples, "See there, we told you, your master is eating with tax collectors and sinners." Jesus heard what they were saying and said, "Listen, it's not those who are well that need a physician, it's those who are sick." Jesus said to the disciples, "I called Matthew not because we need Matthew, but because Matthew needs us." God called you elders to service, not because the church needs you. God's church will be triumphant with or without us. The fact of the matter is, we need the church. We need to serve God. 1 Peter 2:9, God tells us that we are a chosen generation. I want you to know, 27 years ago, I accepted the call to God's royal priesthood. And 23 years ago, I accepted the call to the ministry. Now, did you get that? 27 years ago, I accepted the call to God's royal priesthood. You are, according to the scriptures, royal priesthood. When you surrender your life to Christ, you don't realize it, but you become a chosen generation. You become a royal priesthood. You become a peculiar people. Now, I want to make this clear. All of you who are Christians have been called to ministry. Some have been called and set apart to be pastors and evangelists, but all of you, all of us, are a royal priesthood. Amen. And he calls us from all walks of life. He called Moses out of Pharaoh's court. Called Peter and Andrew from the sea fishing. Made them fishers of men. He called Samuel in his sleep. He called Luke from being a doctor. I ask you this morning, where were you when you got the call? I'll never forget that night God called me. Said, "I've seen your dreams. Now give me your dreams. And I will let you see what I've been dreaming for your life." Where were you when you got the call? Elisha was plowing when he got the call. Gideon was threshing wheat. I want you to know I didn't choose the Lord. The Lord chose me. He found me. I wasn't looking for him. Are you with me today? He found me like Paul on the Damascus Road. And so now I preach, like Paul says, because of necessity. I preach because necessity has been laid upon me. I don't travel in ministry just because I like it. It used to be fun getting on planes every week. Are you listening to me? Now flying is drudgery. It's crowded. Somebody say amen. Amen. Feel like you're getting on a bus? Amen. Folks used to dress up in suits to fly. Now folks go looking anyhow. I don't go to the ends of the earth to preach and sing because it's fashionable. It is because necessity, are you with me, like Paul says, has been laid upon me. I sing and preach because I can't, as the old folks, I can't help it. I'm so grateful for what God has done for me. Some people think that they were chosen by God because they got some gift or talent. God doesn't call you because of your gift. Some of the Lord says he calls you not because you're blessed. You are blessed just to be called. Are you with me today? The servant of the Lord says the conversion of souls to God is the greatest work, the highest work in which human beings can have a part. It was given to us that we might present Christ. It is the most glorious work. Matthew says that when he called me to serve in his kingdom, the first thing God did was give me power over unclean spirits. The first thing that Jesus gives his disciples when he calls them is spiritual power. After 17 years in ministry, I can tell you I learned some lessons. I've been in the ministry now 23 years. And I can tell you that a minister needs power more than anything else. You're not going to make it on personality. You're not going to make it on your charm. You can have charisma, you can have eloquence, but if you don't have power from God, your ministry will fail. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, but when teachers, one day he went to the seminary and he was asked how he got his call. He was a little arrogant, you know, and he, are you with me? And he told how he came to the seminary because just a few weeks ago, he said, I was out in the field and I looked up into the sky and the clouds formed two letters, GP. And that stood for go preach. Well, the old wise teacher saw his attitude, saw he was kind of arrogant, looked at him and said, brother, how do you know that those letters didn't stand for go plow? Not everybody who claims to be called to the ministry has been called by God. I want to speak especially to the elders this morning, but I'm speaking to everyone who is part of the royal priesthood. Amen. You've been ordained, you've been chosen, you've been set apart. And I want you to know God is going to be looking for fruit. I read of a man who was telling about his neighbor's peach tree he had in his yard for years. And without warning, one day he just cut down that tree. When he was asked why, he said that he had tried his best to help that tree bring forth fruit. And when it finally was not bringing forth fruit, he had to cut it down. I was reminded of that parable of the Savior, which we overhear him saying to the master and to the worker, if it bears fruit, good. If it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. The elders, I want you to know God's going to be looking for fruit. So walk worthy of the vocation with which you were called. Several years ago, one of the organizations of a certain church produced a film, and the question of the film was, what can one man do? The answer is really very simple. By yourself, elders, you can do very little. Somebody say amen. By yourself, you are not equipped. Don't you try to go on a hospital visitation without Jesus surrounding you. Don't try to go into a time of trial in the family without the presence of God surrounding you. Without Christ, you are not equipped. You're not even inspired. You're not directed. The possibilities with Christ, however, are limitless. They are what? God and one man, God and one woman, you are a majority. You can do so much when God is on your side. So elders, I want to encourage you to guard yourself from doing things which will hurt your conscience, violate your fellowship with God, destroy your self-respect. God has great things planned for your life and your ministry. And it's greater than anything you could ever imagine. I remember reading about Michelangelo one day came into Raphael's studio. He looked at one of Raphael's early drawings and then he took a piece of chalk, wrote across the drawing, Amplius, which means greater or larger. Raphael's plan was too cramped and narrow. Well, I want you to know, elders, those of you who are part of that royal priesthood, God has greater plans for your ministry than you can even dream of now. He knows what you are capable of in him, and he will not rest until he inspires you and prompts you to do all that you can do for his kingdom. Elders, don't you know it? You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. Now, God, we've had trouble with that phrase for a long time. Some people think that peculiar means you got to act strange. Amen. You got to look strange. As a matter of fact, God wants you, brothers and sisters, to kind of, when it comes to culture, don't go to either extreme. Amen? He doesn't want you to, well, how can I say this? Don't let your dresses drag the ground, and don't let them, well, let me move on. Amen? Don't go to either extreme. Amen? When God says, I want you to be a peculiar people, the best translation of that phrase is, God wants you to be his own. You are his possession. You belong to him. You are a holy nation. You belong to the kingdom of his church. You are a naturalized citizen of heaven, and your passport is in the mail. Amen? You have already been processed by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And because of Christ, you are now seen by God as holy. You didn't hear me. Because of his robe of righteousness, the Father sees you as pure, as holy. He says, where sin doth abound, his grace will much more abound. You are a royal priesthood. Turn to that person next to you and say, you are a royal priesthood. You are part of a royal priesthood. You enjoy contact with God. Amen. Now, there's a reason I told you to do that. If we have so many priests, how come we have a shortage of manpower? Are you listening to me? If we've got so many, are you part of this royal priesthood? If we have so many who are part of a royal priesthood, how come we have so many priests sitting on their hands in church? Coming as spectators, standing on the sidelines, we've got a shortage of priests who work. Oh, you're mighty quiet. Why is it that so many priests feel that the extent of their, I'm talking about you, brothers. I'm talking about you, sister. I'm not just talking about somebody sitting next to you. I'm talking about you. If we have so many who are called to the royal priesthood, and you become a part of God's royal priesthood when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, how come you feel that the best way that you can contribute to the mission of the church is by your strong tithe and weak offering? And that's the extent of your involvement. Oh, yes, but you come and sit. Too many people feel that the church's work should be carried out by professionals. God uses ordinary people. And just like others cannot believe for you, no one can do the work God has set apart for you, for you. How can I say this? You can't pay anybody to do the work God has set forth for you to do, for you. You can do that on your job, but you can't do that in the church. God told me to say that again. You can't pay anybody to do the work God has set apart for you to do for you in his church. You have to do what God has called you to do. If you've given your life to Christ, you're a priest, and every priest has a job. Amen. Say it with me. Every priest has a job. I wish I had a mirror. I wish I had a few hundred mirrors so you can look into it and say it to yourself. Every priest has a job. You are to be a personal witness for Christ. God didn't call you to bring the world to Jesus. He told us, put Christ in your life and take Christ to your world.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's message. I do hope that you have enjoyed it and that it's been a blessing to you. We will have to air part two of this message in another broadcast, so I do hope that you will stay tuned. However, if you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church Office at 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 155 in our series, and that will give you the title, A Dedication of the Elders, Part 1. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Goodluck Road in Lanham, Maryland. Lanham, Maryland is in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. For directions to the church, you may call the church office at 301-577-6342. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and again at 11 a.m. That's about all the time we have for today's program. My name is Adrian Westney, Jr. As always, I wish you God's richest blessings. I hope that you will join us again for another program. But until then, remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your